The Bible. It's one of the most influential books in human history.
It explores the big questions of why we exist.
It's inspired many people to do amazing things.
And confused many others.
And you've probably got one sitting around somewhere.
So, what is the Bible actually?
Well, the Bible is a small library of books that all emerged out of the history of the people of ancient Israel. And in one sense, they were just like any other ancient civilization. But among them were a long line of individuals called prophets. And they viewed Israel's story as anything but ordinary. They saw it as a central part of what God was doing for all humanity. And these prophets were literary geniuses.
Really?
Yeah, they expertly crafted the Hebrew language to write epic narratives, very sophisticated poetry. They were masters of metaphor and storytelling, and they leveraged all of this to explore life's most complicated questions about death and life and the human struggle.
So, there's a lot of different authors writing this book.
Yeah, and these texts were produced over a 1,000-year period, starting with Israel's origins in Egypt, then leading up to their kingdom with their first temple. But eventually, they were conquered by the Babylonians, who took them away into exile. Then, at a crucial moment in their history, many Israelites returned to their land. They built a second temple, they reformed their identity, and this is when the Jewish scriptures began to be formed into the shape that we have them today.
Okay, the Jewish Bible. What's in it?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called by an acronym, Tanakh. The T stands for Torah, sometimes called the Law. That's Israel's five-book foundation story. The N stands for Nevi'im, the Hebrew word for prophets. And this section consists of the historical books that tell Israel's story from the prophet's point of view. Then you get the poetic books of the prophets themselves. The K stands for Ketuvim, the Hebrew word for writings. This is a diverse collection of poetic books, wisdom books, and more narrative. And the Jewish people believe that through all of these literary works, God speaks to his people.
Now, there were other Jewish writings being produced during this Second Temple period as well.
Yeah, a really diverse group of texts. And these too were highly valued in Jewish communities. And there was debate from ancient times about whether or not some of these should be considered part of their scriptures.
So this is a lot of different writings over a long period of time. Why did they put them all together like this?
Well, altogether, these texts tell an epic story about how God is working through these people to bring order and beauty out of the chaos of our world. And it all builds up to a hope for a new leader who would come and renew all creation. And then the Tanakh concludes, and this leader never comes.
So it's an expertly crafted work, but it's missing an ending?
That's exactly right. Now, a few centuries later, a Jewish prophet comes onto the scene named Jesus of Nazareth. He claimed he was carrying the Tanakh story forward.
Yeah, so Jesus did a bunch of cool stuff, was killed, but his followers claimed he was alive from the dead.
Yeah, they said that Jesus was that long-awaited leader who would restore the world. And so his earliest followers, called apostles, they composed new literary works about the story of Jesus. They called these Good News, or the Gospel. They formed an account called Acts about the spread of the Jesus movement outside of Israel. And then they circulated letters to different Jesus communities all around the ancient world.
And they saw these writings as part of the scripture.
Yeah, the apostles wrote all of this as the fulfillment of that epic story found in the Tanakh. And they were continuing the literary genius of the Jewish tradition. They also believed that God was speaking to his people through these texts alongside the scriptures of Israel.
So that's the Old and New Testament. But what did the early Christians think of the other Second Temple literature?
Well, different groups had different views about some of these books, but we know they read them and valued these texts because they passed them along with the Jewish scriptures.
Okay, so we've got the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures. We got these other Second Temple period works. Then the writing of the apostles about Jesus. And that's a lot of literature, so what's in my Bible?
So the Christian movement has taken different forms over 2,000 years, and from the beginning, all Christians recognized the Tanakh and the New Testament as scripture. And for centuries, much of the Second Temple literature was read as part of the biblical tradition. The Catholic Church eventually made it official and called some of the books from this collection the Deuterocanonical books. Some Orthodox churches used even more books from this Second Temple literature. And then in the 1500s, during the Reformation, Protestant Christians wanted to go back to the oldest writings of the prophets and apostles, so they accepted only the Old and New Testaments.
Okay, I think I got it. But how does a collection of books produced over 1,000 years by all these different authors tell one unified story?
Yeah, that's the question we'll address in our next video.
Hi, my name is Alistair, and I'm going to chat with you for the next few minutes just on the whole issue of journaling. It's one of the spiritual disciplines that I found really helpful. I've done for years now and found it really, really useful. And a few reasons why I think it's important. I think it, for me, it gives me a real way of being able to trace my history and to see how God's been working in my life and look back over it and see his goodness and his faithfulness. It also, it acts for me as like a sort of heart-to-heart interaction with God that's completely private, and I don't share with anybody, and it's a place where I can be really vulnerable and honest and open. It also gives me an opportunity to have a look at a little bit of scripture, or sometimes from some other books as well. One of those famous and favourite ones for me is *Imitation of Christ* by Thomas A Kempis. But most of the ones are bringing bits out of scripture, particularly out of the Psalms. I find those, that sort of David and others' interaction with God, really helpful for me. And I take a little passage, maybe just a verse or two or even a few words, and I try and think about it. I sit quietly and try and listen to God. I chew it over. I meditate on it often through the day. But I'll write often an initial sort of few thoughts, questions, prayers, statements of faith, doubts, fears, questions, whole load of things, just reacting really to the text. I try and also to learn either all or a little bit of the text, so that it gives me something to chew on during the day. And it's like giving the Holy Spirit some fuel to work in my heart and in my mind. So that's why I find it really, really useful. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share one that I wrote this morning from a little passage in the Psalms. And then afterwards, I've sent on email to John a verse that you might like to write about and react to. This isn't about Bible study in the sense of correct sort of answers and that kind of stuff. This is heart-to-heart stuff. This is your heart and your circumstances and fears and feelings and joys and troubles in a place where you can react secretly with God. So here's my little one from this morning. I enjoy doing this a lot. So you find, here's my, what to show you, here's my journals from the last few years. There's a lot of stuff in there. Here's mine from today. This is Psalm 116, and it's verse 14, and I'm using the Passion Translation, and the verse I've sent you on email is also the Passion Translation too. The verse is, God himself will fill you with more. God himself will fill you with more. Now, my response to the text is not sort of an essay or some sermon sort of prepped and whatever. It's just a pouring out of reactions and thoughts and questions and so on. So it's not necessarily in any particular sequence. It's just a pouring out on paper. So here's my thoughts with it. Please fill me. Thank you that you want to fill me with more. I want and I need more. Thank you that the you in the text includes me. I need filling with what you have. I'm full of lots of other rubbish, fears, anxieties, angers, disappointments. I want more of you because you bring purity and love and joy and peace and goodness. Thank you that you will interact with me personally. You don't send an angel, but you do this yourself. Do I need to do anything? Do I need to open my spiritual mouth wide in order to receive your filling and your fullness? If so, what does that look like? God, will you please help grow my appetite so I want more of you? I trust you to fill me and to not leave me empty. Thank you that this is your wonderful and perfect will. God himself will fill you with more. So those are my simple just little thoughts and questions and stuff, a little reaction to that little text, those few words. And I'd encourage you now to have a look at that text that I've sent to John from the Psalms, from the Passion Version, and just give your own reaction. There's nothing right or wrong. It's not there for public consumption. It's just your heart interaction with God. And I pray that as you develop this little spiritual discipline, this little habit, that'll add richness to your life and to your walk with Jesus, because he wants to fill you with more. Great to share with you these few minutes, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening together. God bless.